All right, welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today we're going to be diving into a pretty pivotal legal case, Robertson v. Opequan Motors. It's from 1999, so a bit back. But super relevant for anyone, especially law students, who want to really grasp, you know, the nitty-gritty of employment law and the whole concept of fair pay, right? Because this case is, it's not just some, you know, old legal text. It's a real-world window into how the West Virginia Wage Payment and Collection Act, we'll call that the WPCA from now on, how it actually plays out, you know, in a real situation.
Yeah, no, you hit the nail on the head there. This case, it's the perfect example of how courts, they really scrutinize, you know, what might seem like standard employment practices, but through the lens of these protective laws, you know, like the WPCA. And it really drives home the point that, you know, if employers try to get a little too creative, you know, with how they handle compensation and benefits, there can be some pretty hefty consequences.
Yeah, and that's what's so fascinating about this case, right? It's like, on the surface, it's a car dealership. Seems pretty straightforward, but as we're going to see, there's a lot more going on beneath the surface. So our mission today, you know, in this deep dive, is to really dissect this situation at Opequan Motors, this car dealership, and try to understand how their actions, you know, were measured against the rules, the standards of the WPCA, and I think some of the stuff they were doing is going to be pretty surprising.
Oh, definitely, and you know, to set the stage here, right? Picture your typical car dealership. Opequan Motors, and like many dealerships, their sales team, they're largely working on commission. So you sell a car, you get a percentage of the sale. Pretty basic stuff. Seems pretty fair.
Yeah, totally. But that's where things start to get interesting, or maybe not so interesting for the salespeople involved, because, you know, behind this seemingly simple, you know, commission structure, there are all these practices going on that ultimately led to this lawsuit. Right.
Exactly. And the salespeople, they brought forward a few core allegations. And the first one is pretty striking. They claim that the dealership was, get this, taking deductions from their commissions, their earned commissions, to cover things like vehicle repairs, even after the car had been sold.
Hold on. So they're getting docked for repairs on cars that are already off the lot? I mean, that seems like a huge red flag right off the bat.
Yeah, and that's exactly what the employees argued. And the court, they agreed. They said, you know, this WPCA, it's designed to prevent employers from just shifting their operating costs onto their employees, especially when it comes to wages that have already been earned.
Right. It's like you can't just, you know, arbitrarily take money out of someone's paycheck because, you know, the copier broke or something, right?
Exactly. It's just not fair. And legally, under the WPCA, it's not allowed unless there's, you know, a specific agreement in place, which wasn't the case here.
Okay, so that's one issue. What else were they alleging?
Okay, so the second allegation, it gets a little more into the weeds of car sales, but bear with me. So they claim that Opequan was manipulating the cost basis of the vehicles.
Cost basis. Okay, you might have to break that down for me a little bit.
Sure. So the cost basis, in simple terms, it's basically what the dealership paid to get the car in the first place, right?
Okay.
So the difference between that price, that cost basis, and the price they sell it for, that's the gross profit. Hmm. And that profit is often, you know, the starting point for figuring out how much commission the salesperson gets. So what the salespeople were claiming is that Opequan was artificially inflating this cost basis, making it look like they paid more for the cars than they actually did.
Okay, I'm starting to see where this is going.
Yeah.
So by making it seem like the cars cost them more, they're making the profit margin look smaller.
Exactly. And therefore, the salespeople's commissions, they get squeezed.
Ah, that's pretty sneaky.
Yeah, and potentially a direct violation of the WPCA, you know, because the law says you got to pay wages according to what was agreed upon in the employment terms. So manipulating those numbers to pay less, that's a big no-no.
Gotcha. Okay, so we've got shady deductions, we've got some creative accounting going on. What's the third big issue here?
The third one, it's about paid time off. So vacation pay and holiday pay. The salespeople, they argued that these benefits, they were promised as part of their employment package, you know, what they were entitled to. And they even pointed to the employee handbook, which specifically mentioned, you know, provisions for holiday pay.
Okay, so they felt like they were being denied something that was clearly, you know, part of the deal.
Right. So just to recap, right, we've got these questionable deductions, we've got the cost basis manipulation, we've got the denial of promised paid time off. Seems like they had a pretty solid case. So what did they do? They filed a lawsuit, and importantly, they went for class action certification, and they got it.
Class action. So that means the court recognized that this wasn't just, you know, a couple of isolated incidents. This was something potentially affecting a bunch of employees at the dealership.
Exactly. It indicated a systemic issue. And so the case, it went to trial in Berkeley County Circuit Court.
Okay. What happened at the trial?
So interestingly, the trial court, they actually issued directed verdicts in favor of the employees on some of the key issues right away.
Directed verdicts. So the judge was basically saying the evidence is so clear cut, there's no need for a jury to even deliberate on this.
Exactly. And those issues were the deductions for the repair costs and the credit card fees and also the vacation pay issue. But the questions about profit manipulation and the holiday pay, those went to the jury.
Okay, so the jury got to weigh in on those two points, and what did they decide?
Well, the jury, they also sided with the employees on both counts. So they found that Opequan was indeed manipulating the profits, you know, illegally reducing those commissions, and that they weren't paying the holiday pay that they had promised.
Wow. So Opequan, they lost on pretty much every front at the trial level.
Yeah. And not surprisingly, they appealed. They took the case up to the West Virginia Supreme Court of Appeals, the highest court in the state.
Okay. So now we're in the big leagues. This is where the WPCA really gets put under the microscope, right?
Precisely. And it was up to the Supreme Court to decide whether the lower court, you know, had applied the WPCA correctly. Now, it's really important to remember that the court, they view the WPCA as remedial legislation, meaning its main purpose is to protect employees and to give them a way to get back wages and benefits that were, you know, wrongly withheld.
Right. So it's not just a neutral set of guidelines. It's specifically designed to level the playing field and make sure workers are treated fairly.
Exactly. So when the court interprets the WPCA, they tend to err on the side of protecting the employee.
Makes sense. So how did the court break down Opequan's actions, you know, in light of the WPCA?
Well, they really focused on the core requirements of the act. Now, it's not laid out as a numbered list in the law itself, but we can think of it as a set of key principles.
Okay, I like that. Kind of a checklist for what the WPCA expects from employers.
Right. So first and foremost, the WPCA says you have to pay wages and benefits according to the employment agreement, you know, what you and the employee agreed to. Second, no unauthorized deductions from wages. Third, you got to give employees written notice about their rate of pay and any changes to it. Fourth, wages have to be paid at least every 2 weeks. That's kind of the default. And fifth, all those accrued benefits, they got to be paid on time.
Gotcha. So it's about clear agreements, it's about transparency, and it's about timely payment.
Exactly. So let's take each of those practices that Opequan was, you know, called out for and see how they measure up against those principles.
Yeah. Let's start with those deductions for the repairs and the credit card fees. That seemed pretty egregious.
Yeah. And the court, they were pretty clear on this one. They said taking money out of the salespeople's commissions, their already earned commissions, to cover those post-sale expenses, that's an illegal wage assignment under the WPCA. They said those costs, those are just part of doing business as a dealership. You can't just turn around and dump them on the employees after they've already made the sale and earned their commission.
Right, right. It's like if you worked at a restaurant and they suddenly started taking money out of your tips to cover, I don't know, broken dishes or something. It just doesn't seem right.
Exactly. It's unfair. And legally, under the WPCA, it's not allowed unless, again, there's some kind of explicit agreement, which wasn't the case here.
Okay, so no shifting those business costs onto the employees. What about the cost basis manipulation? How did that hold up?
Yeah, that one's a bit more complex, but the court, they didn't buy it either. They said by messing with the cost basis, you know, making it look like they paid more for the cars, Opequan was essentially reducing the amount of commission that the salespeople were entitled to based on the actual sale and the actual profit. And the WPCA, it's very clear that you have to pay wages based on the terms of the employment agreement. So this cost basis trickery, it was basically a way to cheat the system and pay less than what was agreed upon.
Right. So you can't just play games with the numbers to avoid paying what you owe. Makes sense. Now, let's talk about the vacation pay. I mean, the trial court issued a directed verdict on that, so it seems like that was a pretty clear violation.
It was. And this is a really important part of the case because it shows how the WPCA protects accrued benefits. So Opequan's policy was to hold off on paying vacation pay until the next year.
So you earn the vacation time, but you don't get paid for it until later.
Right. And the court said, absolutely not. This goes against the WPCA's requirement to pay accrued benefits capable of calculation right away when they're used. And they gave a very specific example. If you take a vacation day on July 25th, you should be paid for that day around that time, not months later in January.
Right. So the money should be there when you take the time off, not stuck in some kind of, you know, IOU situation.
Exactly. And they said once you earn a benefit like vacation time and you take it, its value is it's accrued, it's calculable, you got to pay it promptly. Delaying it, it defeats the whole purpose of the WPCA, which is to ensure that workers get paid what they've earned in a timely manner.
Wow, that's a really important point. So vacation time, it's not just time off. It's like a form of earned wages that becomes payable when you use it.
Exactly.
Okay, and what about the holiday pay? That was promised in the employee handbook, but apparently not being paid out.
Right. And the court, they said, because Opequan specifically promised this holiday pay in their handbook, that promise, it became part of the employment agreement, part of the overall compensation package. And therefore not paying it, that was a violation of the WPCA as well.
So even something like an employee handbook, it can have real legal weight when it comes to pay and benefits.
Absolutely.
Okay, so for all employers out there listening, it seems like the message is pretty clear. No sneaky deductions, no creative accounting to reduce commissions, and you got to pay those benefits like vacation and holiday pay, especially if you've put it in writing.
Absolutely. Robertson v. Opequan Motors, it's a wake-up call for employers. It shows how important it is to follow the WPCA very carefully. You need to have clear legal pay agreements, and you got to honor those promises you make, even in documents like employee handbooks.
Right, right. And what about for employees? What's the key takeaway for them?
I think the biggest thing is that this case, it shows that things like vacation pay, holiday pay, those aren't just, you know, no perks. They're protected wages under the WPCA. So if you earn them and you don't get paid, or if you see deductions from your wages that you didn't agree to, you know, this case, it gives you a legal basis to fight back.
Right. So it gives employees some real ammunition to challenge unfair practices.
Exactly.
So at the end of the day, this Robertson v. Opequan Motors case, it's a really powerful example of how laws like the WPCA can help ensure that employees are getting paid fairly.
Yeah, it's not just about, you know, little accounting disputes. It's about fundamental fairness in the workplace.
Exactly. And the court, they're willing to look beyond, you know, the surface of those employment agreements and really dig into what's actually happening to make sure employers are playing by the rules. So the main takeaway here is that the WPCA, it's a serious piece of legislation, and employers, they need to take it seriously. It's not a suggestion, it's the law. And as this case shows, the courts are willing to enforce it to protect workers' rights.
Absolutely. It's a clear reminder that even what might seem like, you know, small deviations from those agreements or those creative accounting tricks, they can have some big legal and financial consequences, especially when you're dealing with laws that are specifically designed to protect workers' wages and benefits.
Right, right. And on that note, here's something for everyone to think about. How many other areas of employment law might have these kind of, you know, hidden protections for employees, things that go beyond the obvious regulations? What other laws or legal principles do future lawyers need to be aware of to really ensure fairness in the workplace? It's definitely something to consider.
Thanks for joining us for this deep dive.
My pleasure.